Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, which spans all of the expansive podcasting platforms which you may enjoy, whether that be Pandora, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, CastBox, whatever the case may be, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, you can find the Locked On Podcast Network there as well, spanning all of your favorite sports, whether that be MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, college football. Whatever, chances are if you've got a favorite team and a favorite sport, there's a Locked On show for you, designed to help you in your day-to-day life. Not everybody has the ability to just go out there and study everything in depth and come up and be the most knowledgeable fan in the world. A lot of guys have lives. I understand that. Well, with the Locked On Podcast Network, you don't have to worry about it. You can just subscribe to your favorite show on whatever platform you like to use. You'll be kept up to date when there's a new release of your favorite show, so you can be kept up to date on everything you need to know and none of the superfluous BS that you don't. That way you can be the guy around the water cooler or the girl around the water cooler, and everybody can come to you for information. Locked On Podcast Network, spanning everything, keeping you in the loop, helping you be the fan you want to be. All right, guys, happy Monday. Welcome to the show. Not much has changed, really. We're still going through trying to figure out when baseball is going to start. The Korean Baseball League now has started showing inter-squad matchups, so hopefully we're getting closer to that time where we might be able to get some baseball in soon. I know everybody's going crazy. I'm right there with you. But we've still got some prospects to go before we finish out our top 30, and now that I'm this deep into it, I really want to finish it. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. I hope you guys have maybe found some players that you didn't know anything about, or maybe have a better idea of some guys that you did know and weren't quite sure. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. I've enjoyed doing it. I really do love doing prospects. It's kind of fun for me. It's something that I kind of got into once the Braves started to suck. But really, over the last 3 or 4 years is when I've really kind of dove into it. But that's enough about that. Without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into these. We're going to start off with our number 8 prospect. This is a name. Both of these guys are guys you've definitely heard of. But number 8, I know for a fact you've heard, because we've talked about him a lot as Braves fans over the last 2 or 3 years, and that is William Contreras, 22-year-old catcher. Yes, if that name sounds familiar to you, he is the brother of Cubs starting catcher Wilson Contreras. And for William, consistency is the name of his game. This is a guy that is extremely well-rounded. There's not really a weakness in his game. His tools are average or better across the board, except for speed, which, you know, for a catcher, I don't really care. He's got average catcher speed, maybe a little bit better than average catcher speed. Hasn't really shown that much power yet, but catchers are a little bit different. It's not the same as judging a left fielder or a third baseman or anything like that. Catchers have so much that they have to work on defensively that most of the time their offensive game takes longer to catch up. So for a guy like Wilson, just because he hasn't shown that much power yet, as a matter of fact, he's only hit double-digit home runs once. I believe he's only hit 6 home runs in a season once, and that was his season in Rome where he hit 11. Doesn't mean that it's not on the way. Everybody who's watched this guy, who's watched his swing, thinks that he's got at least average, maybe a little bit better power, but it's at least average. He hits the ball hard when he makes contact. He's very, very consistent. That's kind of, when you look at his numbers and you look at his underlying measurables and metrics, it's really about consistency. Basically, every stop along the way, he essentially does the same type of numbers. I believe he's got 7 stops in his career. I think he's had basically the same numbers in about 5 of those 7 stops. There's still some stuff to work on, which we'll get to in a second, but it is good when you see a guy can basically play the same level across whatever level he's at. That shows you that this is a guy that at the very least has a major league career, which for a catcher, it's a big time thing. The catcher position is not like other positions in baseball. It's one of the few specialty positions really left in the game, where if you can be really, really good at just one thing, or really if you can be specialized in one area like Tyler Flowers in his framing, or if you can just be kind of good at everything, it doesn't have the same standards as a position like third base, where you have to be a big-time power hitter, or center field, where you have to be an amazing defender. There's a little bit more leeway because they're so involved in what's going on, and there's a lot of mitigating factors for a catcher that don't come into play with the other positions. Things like game calling, things like framing, things like receiving, how you catch the ball as a catcher is a big deal. And for William, he does a lot of that really, really well. As far as his top tool, it is his arm strength. Just like his brother Wilson, William has a very, very good arm, and it's very accurate. It's not as strong as Wilson's. Wilson has one of the stronger catcher arms in baseball, but William is a very accurate arm, does a good job with his pop time as well, knows how to set himself up and nab runners, knows how to keep people from taking undue bases on him. He does a good job receiving as well. This is probably the area that he's worked on the most over the past year or two, is how to receive the ball, where you want to receive it, how your arm needs to be in conjunction with that. And there's a lot of different things that go into discussing receiving. I don't have enough time to do it here, but it's not the same as just stick your glove out and catch the ball. There's a lot more that goes into it. His game calling as well is very advanced for his experience level. It's not Shea Langeliers. It's not Yadi Molina or anything like that. But for a 22-year-old catcher, it's very advanced. Pitchers really like throwing to him. He does a good job working with the pitchers and building up a good rapport. He doesn't strike out a lot, which is good. I think the highest he's ever had has been around 21.5%. He's never gone over, he's never hit 22% on a K rate. And he carries a good strikeout to walk ratio. Walks, I don't think he's ever hit double digit walks, but he's usually floating around 6.5 to 8% walks, which is very good for a guy that doesn't strike out a ton. There are some maturity questions that kind of popped up last year. Last year was kind of the time where he kind of broke out as a prospect-wise. He's ranked just outside the top 100, but he's ranked, Fangraphs has him at like 118 right now. But this was kind of the time where his name first started getting really thrown about there. Been described kind of very similar to his brother as far as intensity-wise. And that growing status as far as prospect status, it might have gone to his head a little bit. I know when talking to some guys around the organization, that was kind of the thing with William Contreras, is that he needed to kind of, in their words, grow up a little bit or kind of work on his attitude a little bit. I didn't hear those, and I asked those questions towards the end of last season. I didn't hear those towards the end, so it does look like whatever the case was, they were able to straighten him out and get him back in what they were looking at. And it is kind of hard for a guy that's very, very intense. There's a very fine line you got to walk between being an intense competitor and being over the top or being a bad teammate. This is not to say that William or Wilson are bad teammates, just that they're always going to have to be cognizant of how they appear to be, because that does have a big effect on the locker room. He's going to be a major leaguer. I mean, his floor is major leaguer because he doesn't really have a weakness. He can do everything you need him to do. He's consistently ranked above average offensively, but he's never really been elite. I think that's probably more in line with what you should expect from him down the road. I know there's a few guys, a few buddies of mine who run around the Braves blog spheres, guys like Tommy Poe, who are really, really big William Contreras fans, and I don't blame them. I don't see high upside in him. I don't see low floor. I think he's a very high floor type of guy. I don't think he's a very high ceiling type of guy. I don't see any one area where he stands out and you go, all right, he's going to be great at doing this. I think he's one of those guys that you're going to look at. I mean, he's going to have a 12, 13-year career. But he's a guy that I don't think profiles as ever being like a top 5, maybe even a top 10 type of guy. As far as comparisons go, I had to look around a little bit. The first instinct is always to go to his brother Wilson, but I think they're very different players. I think a guy that makes a good amount of sense for William would be a guy like Francisco Cervelli. A guy that's really good at a few different things, not really specialized anywhere, but really good at calling games, a really good blocker, has a good arm, does really well with pitchers, and is a good framer, not elite like Flowers or a few of these other guys, but is a very good framer as well. Just a guy that he's not going to hurt you anywhere in the game. That's what I think William is. And there's a market for guys like that, whether it's a backup, whether it's as a platoon mate, or whether it is as a full-time starter. Guys like William Contreras, they're not going to hurt you. And sometimes in your catcher position, you just want to make sure that everything works out the way it needs to. And sometimes guys like that can go on and surprise you. He's 22 years old, so there's certain, Wilson was a very late starter as well. So there's certainly time for him to outgrow that projections. But for now, I'm thinking he's going to be a Francisco Cervelli type, and that's not a bad thing at all. All right, but as per usual, I've gone over my allotted time for doing these prospects. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the number 7 prospect, another guy I know you've heard of, a guy that we've been waiting on for a few years to really take it to the next level. Well, we may have finally started to see that. Who is it? We'll find out coming up next right here on Locked On Braves. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're having lunch, maybe even right when you get up in the morning. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant out there, at least everyone that I can think of, right to my front door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They can make my life easier with grocery delivery, whatever I can think of delivery. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, Postmates will deliver it. No more trips to the store. No more late-night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners here on Locked On Braves $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That is the perfect amount of time. Everybody's stuck in quarantine. You know what? Don't worry about getting all your food. Don't worry about going out and shopping. Just Postmate it. Start your free deliveries. Just download the app. Use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. You'll get $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days just for downloading the Postmates app for iOS or Android. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking through the break. Since I went over in that first segment, I'm going to try something and just jump right into this. We're talking about our top 30 prospects. Number 7, Kyle Muller. As I mentioned, you guys definitely have heard of this name. Kyle Muller's been kind of a name for the last few years or so. Second round pick in 2016. I believe it was part of the Justin Upton deal. I know Joey Wentz was from one of the deals. I think Kyle Muller was from one as well, but I'm not entirely sure about that. I'd need to ask a few people. But either way, second round pick, believe it was fourth overall in the second round or something like that. Might have even been a comp B pick. The thing on Kyle Muller, he's a big, big frame, 6'6", and they list him at like 225 on Fangraphs. That's not accurate at all. Reports during spring training are he's as high as 270. He is a big, big man. He is a fully framed out lefty. One of the top two-way players coming out of college, was a big-time power hitter with the bat. Haven't seen it as much, obviously, in professional ball, as he doesn't get the chance to hit very often, but always nice to see when you got pitchers who can rake a little bit, pitchers who can blast the ball. Him and Joey Wentz, when they were both in the system, were both guys that were huge two-way players coming out of high school and college, respectively. And for Kyle, it's not hard to imagine that he's got big power. The man's built like Richie Sexson. He is just gigantic. The funny thing about him was, though, when the Braves drafted him, he's a guy that in high school was topping around 95, 96, which is good for a high school arm. It's very good for a high school arm. But by the time he got drafted by the Braves out of college, he was really only throwing about 92, which was kind of weird for a guy that big who was, you know, didn't really have great secondaries at the time. It didn't give you a lot of faith in his ability to stay as a starter. So he ended up going to Driveline and rediscovered his velocity completely. Now he's topping around 97, 98. He might have hit 99 or time or two, but usually when he tops out, it's about 97, 98. He also dropped his arm slot to a three-quarter slot instead of coming more over the top. Since he's done that, his curveball has improved a ton. Now it's an actual usable pitch, potentially above average, maybe even a little bit better than that as he gets a little bit better of a handle on it. But more importantly, now it's a usable pitch. And that's something that he didn't quite have before. His location on the fastball has gotten much better. He gets really, really good angle on his pitches due to his big, giant frame and his arm slot. So he's got a little bit of deception on there as well to work with that 94, 95 that he'll normally sit. This is a guy that you look at his frame and you think he's going to be a workhorse. He's certainly got that potential. He's a guy that should have a lot of innings in him. I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why the Braves have kind of resisted moving him to the bullpen long term, is you look at a guy like that and you think he's going to eat up innings by the mouthful. And I don't necessarily think that's wrong. There's just a few things he's got to get working on if he wants to do that. He's got really good strikeout potential. Obviously, a guy that can throw 97, 98 from the left-hand side. That's you know, that has strikeout pitcher written all over it. Hasn't really been a strikeout guy as of yet. Last year averaged a little bit over 9.5 strikeouts per nine, which is really good. But for the most part, he'll sit around the eights and sevens before then. The biggest problem with him being a strikeout pitcher is his secondaries. His curveball still has a lot of work to do. It has shown that it can be really good. But he's got to work on it tirelessly because dropping to a new arm slot and changing your mechanics a little bit, it doesn't change overnight. You got to get used to it again. His changeup is still a big work in progress. And as I've said a lot, that third pitch is usually the indicator about whether or not you're going to be a starter or a reliever. So if he wants to be that kind of big strikeout pitcher, that changeup needs a lot of work done to it. And his mechanics, those are kind of the mechanics are probably the biggest part of his game that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. Not really gets on my nerves, but the part that can drive you crazy a little bit, because his mechanics are the best thing you can say about his mechanics are that they're spotty at best. At worst, it's inconsistent and it's not really repeated very often. But because of that, his command suffers a lot, which is why you'll see him go through stretches where he cannot find the plate. We saw it a lot in spring training, as a matter of fact. What you saw from Kyle Muller in spring training is not indicative of what he usually is, but it's indicative of what happens to him when he hits a bad stretch. Once he hits a bad stretch, it's really hard for him to get it back, and that's twofold. It's release point a lot, and it's mechanics. Now, his mechanics seem fairly simple, but it's still fairly new to him moving to the three-quarter slot and the way that he's releasing. It's still fairly new, so he still finds himself going back, kind of fighting it a little bit and going back to his traditional setup a little bit, which is not what you want to see from him. It's just going to take repetition for him. And he's a guy that works really, really hard. Going out to driveline shows a lot of initiative, and it shows that he really wants to get better, and he's really interested in how he can make himself the best Kyle Muller possible. This is a guy that still has big-time potential. He's probably actually increased his potential since he's been in the system. Coming out there and getting his velocity back was really, really big for him. It's something that it's going to pay big dividends down the line. He's got to get that changeup under command. He's really just got to get to a point where he can be consistent in his motions, whether it's his release point, whether it's mechanics, whether it's play his command. He just needs to be consistent, and he kind of needs to work on his sequencing a little bit. As a big guy with a big fastball, he gets fastball happy. A lot of that can also be because his off-speed isn't very reliable, so he tends to throw that fastball a lot, and he throws it a fair number of times in a row. Big league hitters, that's not going to work. You're going to have to find a way. You're going to have to find some reliable secondaries and tertiaries, if you want to get technical, to keep these hitters off balance. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck into the bullpen. If he can get that change figured out and he can kind of iron out this command a little bit, which I think he will, he's got the work ethic too. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to be in the 2.5 walks per nine type range. I think he's going to consistently be in the mid to high threes, maybe even low fours. But for a guy that can strike out as many people as he can, you can get away with that. I think the biggest problem for him is going to be getting to that point where it is consistently repeated day in and day out. If he gets that change figured out to where it's at least an average pitch, then you're looking at a much different Kyle Muller than the one you're looking at right now. There's a lot to like in Kyle Muller. I'm very, very big on Kyle Muller. The Braves do a great job with pitchers. They do a really good job with the off-speed pitches of pitchers. So I think there's a lot to like in Kyle Muller. I think the Braves are really, really high on him. That's why I don't think you've seen him move to the bullpen yet. That's why I really don't think you will unless there's no other option. As far as comparisons go, I've got two, and the first guy that came to mind, the very first guy that came to mind was Sean Newcomb. That's because they're both similar size, both kind of similar stories. Sean Newcomb has very easy mechanics. Kyle Muller's aren't always easy or repeatable, but they're very similar type of stories. Big lefties that should be able to eat innings but aren't very efficient because their command isn't really very good at all. And because of that, they work a lot harder and they walk more people than they need to. It's harder for them to put guys away because they don't have a great secondary pitch. They don't have a swing and miss secondary pitch at the moment. If you want a major league comparison, it's the same one that I use for Newcomb. It's Scott Kazmir. A lot of people throw around John Lester for Newcomb. That's just more because they're big lefties. But a guy like Scott Kazmir, a guy that struck out a ton, people forget how good Scott Kazmir was when he was with the Devil Rays before the injuries really took a toll. But that's the type of guy that I'm looking at. High strikeout guy, can struggle with walks a lot, and can be very inefficient, which can lead to some short outings, some five-inning outings instead of six or sevens, because he's not always as efficient as he needs to be with the secondary stuff. That's kind of what I'm looking at for Kyle Muller. That's not a bad comparison. Really, the only thing that kept Scott Kazmir back from being one of the better pitchers in baseball for a long time was his injuries. I mean, this is a guy that, with the Devil Rays, is posting up 3 to 4 WAR seasons pretty regularly. If you get that out of Kyle Muller, that's a very, very good person to have, as I think Kyle's going to kind of flesh out in the fourth spot in the rotation, probably 4 or 5. There's a few other guys that we're going to talk about in the coming days here that he's going to have a real struggle just to get ahead of them. But that's a good, it's a good spot for the Braves. Kyle Muller in a lot of other systems would be probably the second pitching prospect. Some of them, though, he'd even be the first, maybe the second or third in a lot of other systems. It's just the fact that the Braves are as deep as they are that kind of pushes him down a little bit. There's still no need to rush him. The Braves have plenty of arms right now. This is a guy that you can let kind of learn that command a little bit. He may end up being a little bit older. Some people may get a little bit impatient. But if you want Kyle Muller to be as good as he can be, if you want him to reach that ceiling, he's a guy you don't want to rush. You want him to get everything ironed out and feel what it's like to have a season where everything goes right and he's consistent with it before you expose him to the big league, before you expose him to big league hitters. That being said, I like Kyle a lot. I think he's a great guy. I think he's going to do a really good job. And that's all the time I've got for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Since I missed Friday, I think I'm going to be back again tomorrow so we can make sure that we finish this up on Friday. We can find some other stuff to do. Thank you, guys. Hope you guys are being safe out there. We'll talk again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.